Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Susan Stamberg.
We're going to win this election. We're going to make America strong at home. And once again, America will be respected around the world when John Kerry is the President of the United States. That's the America we'll build together.
Senator and Democratic vice presidential candidate John Edwards at a rally Wednesday in Dayton, Ohio. NPR senior news analyst Daniel Schorr is with us. Thank you for tossing your hat in our ring once again.
Hi, Susan.
First headline we have to deal with this week, Kerry chooses Edwards. So the race for the White House, everybody's saying, is pretty likely to be close. Do you think that John Edwards is going to be able to bring those undecided voters over to the Democrat side?
Well, Susan, history teaches that the choice of running mate usually has only a marginal effect when the election comes around on the votes of the independents and the undecided. Maybe it'll be a little bit different this time, because these two have managed in just these few days to establish a sense of warm companionship between them so that you get a sense of a team. Mm-hmm. And that may affect the vote when it comes around to November.
Yeah, and it's an interesting twosome, really. And people are saying that part of the reason for this choice is that Edwards, with his warmth, sort of complements Kerry's more reserved personality. But Dan, what is your view of the role that personal charisma is now playing in our political lives?
Well, I think it's been playing more of a role than it has for a long time. I go all the way back to President Reagan, where it played a big role.
Yes.
When he said it's morning in America and got up there on the horse, and people believed that. It wasn't a matter of policies. That came later. And it may be that we're getting a little bit of that morning in America feeling from the sunny disposition of Senator Edwards, who, after all, was the best vote-getter in the primaries after the winner himself.
Uh-huh.
So I think now you see an attempt to field them as a team, which has not always worked in the past, but could.
Yeah. Meantime, how did the Bush people counteract a team like that? They have already started criticizing Edwards, saying that he doesn't have enough experience.
They counteract it. In the first place, the president has been very busy running around the country. He's apparently doing more personal appearances than you would expect an incumbent president to do at this early stage in the campaign. Mm-hmm. This was, after all, meant to be Democrats' time, that they had to pick a running mate. Our president doesn't have to pick a running mate, or at least I don't think he does. And so it was to be taken for granted that they would get a lot of media attention, and the media attention might reflect itself in a little bounce in the polls as well.
There's one tiny thing that's happened, though, a front page picture of Mrs. Hines Kerry.
Oh, yes.
Attempting to pull the thumb out of the little Edwards child's mouth, and people got up in arms about that. What do you think about it?
Well, I'll tell you, if you're going to campaign as a family, the sort of the family that campaigns together, sticks together, or whatever, if you're going to campaign as a family, you're going to have to take your chances with some of the people, older and younger, female and male. I think if the senator had his way and could do it over again, he would do this without taking the thumb out of the child's mouth.
The wife would do it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is not a great thing for a lot of people who are good Democrats.
There was other news this week. Of course, the Senate releasing a scathing report on intelligence failures that led up to the war in Iraq, and especially misinformation on whether or not Saddam Hussein had those infamous weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
Do you think this report answers the questions in the land about what the CIA was doing all this time and what George Tenet was doing?
It answers half the questions. It establishes, beyond any peradventure of doubt, that they were all wet and all wrong in their reports about the weapons of mass destruction, the chemical weapons, the biological weapons, and the coming nuclear weapons as well. It's clear that they didn't have the facts to go on. They should never have given that kind of information. So it is clear that what they did was really a kind of almost stupid misuse of insufficient intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
That's the half of it. The other half of it is it's contained in a part of the report which has not yet been released and probably won't be until after the election, as to how it came to be that way. What did the White House demand of them that then got them to say, okay, if the president wants it, give him what he wants. That is probably, in a sense, the worst part of this thing, is to ask the question, can the president tell the CIA to give him a report saying what he wants it to say because he's getting ready to invade?
Yeah. Also this week, the Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge announced al-Qaeda is likely planning a big terrorist attack on U.S. soil to disrupt the upcoming elections.
Yes.
But again, Ridge spoke of no specific threat. Also, he didn't raise the threat level from yellow. It's elevated. So right. What do you make of yet another announcement like
this? Well, the temptation is always to say that's being done in, for political reasons, but I think not. I think they are getting this chatter, this stuff that they get by listening, eavesdropping on the airwaves all over the world. And apparently what they're getting is a sense that the people, the al-Qaeda people, were very happy with their success in Spain, where they bombed these two trains. And as it happened, it was just before the election, mm-hmm. and as it happened after the election, the new prime minister decided to pull Spanish troops out of Iraq. Apparently, you know, they said, well, if we can do that in Spain, why can't we do it in America? And so there is apparently a sense that one has to sit back. It'll be something big. It'll be connected with our election. It'll be an attack on our democratic process. And I'm sure that Governor Ridge really believes that that's going to happen. And I would not argue with him.
Hmm. Over to Iraq now, where the Prime Minister, Mr. Alawi, enacted a law this week that would let his interim government declare martial law.
Yes.
So what does that tell you, this early declaration?
What does it tell you? If the experiment in Iraq is to succeed, it can only succeed if they manage to establish enough security so people can go and vote between next January when they have to go and vote. And if you're going to do that, you may have to get tough, and you may have to do some undemocratic things in the course of trying to defend democracy. It reminds me, I have to laugh, a little bit like our Patriot Act, where the Attorney General says, listen, we may not be able to give you all your civil liberties now, but it's in the cause of protecting the larger civil liberties. Well, let me not compare this with Iraq, but there is a little bit of there must have to be security or there will be no democracy.
Finally, Dan, back here in this country, former Enron CEO Ken Lay was indicted this week. He pleaded not guilty to 11 criminal charges, an indictment that was 3 years in the making. Some people say it shows the government's case is not that strong against him. So what's more important here? Maybe that his case go to trial or that he actually gets convicted?
Well, clearly it's important to some people that this go to trial. And the question is how the Bush administration feels about this. You're talking about a president who referred to Lay as Kenny Boy. Mm. We're talking about somebody who gave advice to the vice president and his task force on energy. Anything that says Ken Lay, anything that says Enron in an election year is not good news for the incumbent president.
Thank you very much, NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore.